the scripture, and we're going to invite Avery to come and have the reading for all of us.
Just go. Our scripture today comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Join together in following my example, brother and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is in their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brother and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown stands firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful that always comes and shapes our lives and gives us hope. And we pray today, God, may your spirit be the one who speaks to all of us and through all of us. And may your word be able to challenge our spirit so we can go and share with others your love. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. We are right now in this season that we call Lent season, and many of us, we remember that it is through this time that at the church, we take a moment just to pause a little bit. You know, we get into the rush of the life, and we are just thinking about the amount of activities that we have, and we can go by the motions in many things, but Lent just gives us that time to step back and just say, you know, let's remember where we're coming from. Let's remember special things that are actually important, like our relationship with Christ. Where are we in that? It's like a good time to have like a thermometer with God and see where we are with that. And during this time, we're talking about it specifically in how do we return to the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned last week how God is constantly trying to bring us back to him with his love. And we remember that word in the Bible. The word remember in the scripture is the one that we do not use it as we use it in our present 2019, where it's just about making a note in our head. Remembering in the scripture, remember is also something where we come together with Christ, a covenant with Christ, and then together there is action happening. It is through that remembering that we also know the power of our God, that God is always faithful and he's always present. And because of that, we are capable to use our lives for great things for God's glory. So today we're remembering a new word that is important for us to come closer with God. And it's about imitating. You see, this is Paul. And the scripture that we read today was in the letter of which one? Which letter? Philippians. How many of you have read that letter? It's really one of the best in the scripture. I love it. It's actually a really cool church, the Philippians. It's kind of like a Northern Hills United Methodist Church congregation. Really cool people. Every now and then some creepy ones, but that's always in every family. And don't worry, you're not the creepy, it's in the other side. Or whatever, but not over there. No, I'm kidding. So don't tell that to Milton. But what we do is, with the letter of Philippians, it's also a very special letter where we need to understand the context. It is in here where Paul planted this congregation that is kind of not with a lot of Jewish people. There were more Romans and other different cultures in it. But when he is planting that congregation, it's also during a season where there is a lot of persecution for the church. So when he's writing this letter, he's actually in prison when he's doing that. And he's kind of sending this letter to give them thanks for the different ways they have supported, but also to encourage them to have their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says something that is very, very bold, in my opinion. And he tells them, imitate our example. Isn't that powerful? How many of us can really go and tell other people, if you want to learn how a Christian looks like, imitate me? Does it take a lot of, it's a lot of courage to say that, you know? And sometimes it's like, okay, God, let me remember, how did I behave today? Can I say that? You know, it's hard. I like how the other translations talk about it. It says, follow my example. Pattern your lives after mine. In Spanish, remember, heavenly language. Sigan mi ejemplo is in Spanish. Can you say that? Sigan mi ejemplo, you know. And then there is this one, imitate our typo. Now, it's not a typo what I did there. It's actually in Greek. That's the word example, typo. Now, this word, many of you probably have a little bit of a connection in here. If you are a Generation X, right? How many of you use one of those? You still remember? Now, how many of you have never used one of that? Okay, guys. Okay, Avery, really? I mean, yeah, no, Elizabeth, right? Okay. Well, that's a typewriter, right? We people of Generation X up, we can tell you guys for the new generations, we still remember with trauma when you will need to write your paper and you did a mistake, and then what happens? You need to do it again. You need to do it again. You know, I still remember those moments in school and everything else. So, but as you can see, the word typewriter, how does that work? How's that machine works? So in that machine, inside of it, you see the arrow, you find this, that I don't know how to call them in English. Keys. Okay, really? Okay, keys, right. Okay, these keys are key. Because these keys, what they do is when you click on the button, then the key goes up, and then the ink comes between the paper and the key, and then this happens. All right. You start writing, right? So, but what you see here is actually the action of a typo. So the typo, what is the real thing here? This one is the key, is actually the one that has the right letter or the right symbol that then is translated to that paper. That's the typo. So what our dear brother Paul is telling to all of us is, we are like typos. We are a copy of what we are trying to show. We are a copy of that letter. We are a copy of the real thing to show to others what that means. So that's why we are called to imitate our example. He's saying, look how I'm behaving, so that you can see what it means that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. Look how I am, so you can see how God loves you. Now, it sounds very bold, but how is it possible that Paul can get there? How is he able to really become a source for others to imitate him and to learn about Jesus Christ? How can you imitate a person? And I think the only way you can do that is when you have been exposed to that person for a while. And in our case as Christians, it's also because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But you see, when you are exposed enough, then you can learn that behavior too. Let me show you a big example in this little boy. Scared of the boy. I mean, that's kind of the voice that if you say, do you want to stay till midnight playing outside, you can say no, it's dangerous for you. I mean, it's like it's dangerous for the people around you guys. But, yeah. But how is it possible that this child was doing that so perfectly? He was imitating perfectly. And I don't think it happened just because one day he just suddenly woke up knowing how to do that. It was probably the mother, I'm assuming that she was working really hard, and the only way to entertain the child was put him in front of this guy who's Bruce Lee, right? And just watch it for another time and another time till the child just memorized that, right? He was exposed constantly to that truth, to that kind of game. So this is exactly where God is calling us, to imitate, to be exposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our case, it's not something that is just coming by our own source. It's coming also as a fruit of God in our lives. And Paul is very clear about that. And the reason you can see that when Paul is saying, I want you guys to imitate me, and you realize he's not being snob, you can see that he's clarifying that at the beginning of that chapter. And we can see him saying, you know, we cannot imitate. You cannot imitate, first of all, through personal achievement. This is not about, like, you know, Paul worked so hard to get there. He's really busy on that, and that's why he's capable to imitate Christ. He says very clearly, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. So he says, I have all the credentials. So if it's about me having the credentials, I have all of them. But at the end of that place, he says something very special. He says, but all of that, I consider that what? Rubbish. And actually, the word is a lot heavier than that in the right translation, and I'm not going to say hear that in church. But it's really heavy what he says. I don't care about that bunch of because I don't consider that is important for me. So he's very clear of saying, that is not the reason why I can tell you imitate me. I'm telling you that for other reasons. He says also, it's not because of legal justice. This is not because these are my rights as a citizen in this place. That's not the reason. What he says is, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. He was obeying the law, but he says, that's not bringing me here. And he comes and tells clearly what makes him able to imitate and why. And the scripture says on Philippians 3:10, I want to know who? Christ. First of all, I want to know Christ. The reason why I'm capable to tell you imitate me is because the first thing in my heart is that I want to know Christ. Isn't that the call for all of us? To know Christ. That's what has transformed your life and mine. It is that moment when we realize that the story of the gospel was not a foreign story for you and for me, but it became a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the invitation that we do as Christians is that you can know Christ too. This is why denomination exists. This is why the United Methodist Church is about, to make disciples. Why? Because we want people to know Christ. And in a situation, in a moment, in a season in our lives where there is so much tension in our society, do you feel that tension? Do you see that? We see the news, and it's constantly one and after another of difficult circumstances in the world. And we see how division is coming. So what's the only source to bring us back together and focus on in the right place is when we know Christ. I would like to go with people who say, you know, I have heard about Christians. I have heard about that, all the things of the church, and I don't really want to know about God. I would like to tell everyone in the world, I invite you to give a second chance to the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you today that you can go and read what the scripture says about who he is. So you know that that's the Lord that is pursuing you, that is coming to you, that is willing to, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life has hope again. In my life, guys, it makes sense having Christ. There are times when we feel broken, but the beauty of the life of Christ in our lives is that in that brokenness, in a way of a miracle, he brings life again. Amen? So the scripture says here, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Paul understood there is way more than what I see here. I want to experience that. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Why? Because he knows, regardless of the suffering that we experience in here, you know what are the great news about it? It's limited. Can you hear that? When you are in moments of heavy oppression, when you are going through difficult moments in your life, when you hear about friends going through something really dark, we can talk to all of that darkness one powerful reality. And we can tell to all of that, you know something? Darkness, evil, Satan, you are limited. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity of resurrection and eternal life. So that's where he's relying. Because if you remember, Paul's life wasn't easy. As I said, where was he writing this letter? In prison. Was he in prison because of misbehaving? He didn't pay taxes? Did he do something wrong with people? Why was he in prison? Because of the gospel. He was doing the right thing, and then where did he end it? In prison. How many of us have felt like that? Here I am, behaving, doing the right thing, and things are getting worse. Yeah? Why? Because we are not according to the calendar of this world. We move according to what is God's agenda. And sometimes in that agenda, suffering happens in here. I don't know if it's planned or not planned, and really sometimes I really don't care. I just want to deal with the suffering and understand how do I confront it. But the truth that I have is, regardless how deep that is limited. But the resurrection of Christ brings us to an eternal life. And then he says, after I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from death. He knew that. So it is through this reality that he finds that power to say, when you are thinking in Christ, when he is the typo that you're just going to go and show to others, then you can say, imitate me. Not through my strength, but through the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is moving in my life. So to do that today, how do we do that? And we can find in the scripture how he's giving us the right instruction. In Philippians 3 also says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward of the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heaven guard in Christ Jesus. As we have learned before, there are sometimes when you can read many verbs in one part of the scripture, but sometimes there is just one verb that's important and the rest follow. In this one, the very important one is the one that says, I press on. So that's the call. How is it possible for me to get to that place of saying, people can imitate me, people can have hope when they see the work of Christ in my life? How can I get there? And when I get there, what do? Press on. How do I get to that press on? And there is like this what I call it, like diagram in here. First of all, it says forget. What do we need to forget? Forget what was in your past. Now, that's kind of difficult sometimes when we think like, I can forget some things. There are certain things that stay in my memory. And it seems that intentionally, those places where I have done mistakes, they even stay stronger in there. What he's talking about is not totally like you just have like Alzheimer and you don't remember anything like that. What he's talking about is to say, even though they stay in your memory, those things should not shape who you are. We all have experiences. We all have very negative experiences. Some of them, we look at to them by our own selves. We took those and we did things that were wrong, and those are experiences that stay there. Some other ones have been words and situations and behaviors that people have came and did against you, and they stay with you. But what here we find the Lord Jesus Christ telling us is, yes, they are part of your memory, but they shouldn't be the ones shaping your direction of life. Think about all those words negative that you have heard or you have said to your life. If I give you the list, it seems almost intentional that everything, look about this, everything where God calls you, you're going to find a negative word against that, isn't it? In the things where you see God is kind of challenge you to grow, where God wants you to go, somehow you're constantly going to receive a voice against doing that. No, you're not capable to do that. No, you're not good enough to do that. No, you're not the right person to do that. I can give you a list of all the things I have heard about my life. Lupina? No. You cannot really be good about going to the United States. I don't think you're going to be good in there. If you want to be a good pastor, you stay in your knees, but no. It doesn't make sense for you to go and to try to go to school in the United States. No. You can't get married with Abel. No, you too creepy, you know. You know, you're Mexican, he's American. No. It's not going to work. No. You being a mom, Lupina. I mean, you don't have a lot of experience. You're not going to be good. You're trying to be a pastor with American people. Are you crazy? I mean, you cannot even say in English Deuteronomy without having a problem in there. No, you can't do that, you know. So I can give you a list of all the things and all the voices that I have heard saying, I cannot do that. And there has been many times that they stay around me like a cloud, like a dark cloud. But you see, it's true. I cannot do anything of that. It is true. But what is also true is that in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is possible. In the Lord Jesus Christ, those clouds that are trying to shape you and trying to shape me and trying to become an influence and a voice that is just coming to put you in a dark place, all of those could be true. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are free from them. And He is the one who receives the glory. Because then you can say, yes, you're right. All of that is true. Therefore, what you see is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in a person. So we're about forget that. Then we also are about strain forward. What does that mean? It means, as the scripture says, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward for what looks ahead. So we focus at the front. We focus on the life that God is providing to all of us today. We focus in the hope that God brings to us. We focus in the fact that as a new creation, we go to new places. We focus in the opportunity to become a source of hope in this world. So that's where we move forward. And then why? Because we press on. And to press on, it means that we are going to walk strong through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the scripture, it's also talking about we are walking with Him. And we're walking holding His hand. So keeps us close to Him. Keep us accountable to the truth. And through that press on, we're capable to say, you know, God, the road is heavy, it's difficult. There are things in life that I don't know how I'm going to get there. Like Paul, there were several things that I'm sure he's like, I am not even sure how am I going to get to that place. But I know that I press on because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to guide me there. And if it ends here in my life, so be it. And praise God for that. If I keep going, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the call for you and for me. If today is the end of our life, what's the problem? Face to face with Jesus, right? But then if we have another day tomorrow, we can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm putting my feet on as soon as I wake up and I say, God, this day is for you. Let me be your typo. Let me be a person that others can see what it means to be a broken vessel that is put together again with the power of your spirit. Let them see me as a person who can do mistakes and say, I am sorry, I did a mistake. Let me be a testimony for others to say, many times there are clouds trying to shape me, but in the name of Jesus, I can tell you that now I am telling to my life that the one who's shaping my life is the power of the love of God. So we press on. And the last thing is, we remember why. We remember why we're capable to do that. This is not just happy fantasy. This is not just about good vibes or things like that. If any of you guys talk about vibes in this church, I'll give you a chanclazo. Remember that. You know, I'll take it and just throw it. because there is no vibes. There is the presence of the Spirit. And what we are called is because we are having the opportunity to remember that our lives do not end in this part of the chapter. There is a heaven where we all remember that we will spend our eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, I invite you to really recommit your life to say, I want to really imitate Christ. So I can go around this world and say, imitate me so you can find hope in Christ. You see, as Paul said, what's important is that people may know him. People may know him. You know Christ. And our prayer is that through your life and your testimony, other people will know Christ. I'm going to invite you to do something that is optional, but it's available here for you. When we all become baptized, one of the things that we say is that we die to our old self. We leave the past. And then when we also do in the baptism, when we come from the water, we say we are here for a new creation. So today, as you can see, there are four stations. And in each of these stations, I invite you, just that if you are feeling that God is calling you, to come and say, God, I want to imitate you. I want to recommit my life with you. I want to grow in understanding that the value of my life comes because of my relationship with you. I invite you to come and remember your baptism. Pastor Mickey is going to be in one station. Pastor Nancy is going to be in this other station. And I'm going to be here. And also Michael, who's one of our lay servants, is going to be here. But just come as a way that you say to God, God, here I am. Take my story. Remind me that I belong to you. Remind me that all my past, you have dealt with that. And you're giving me a life with a future with hope and a life that can bring to others the opportunity to know that they are loved by you. Amen.